Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome in, folks, here live on Big Blue View's YouTube channel, and you might be listening to the recording on our audio lineup. I'm Joe DeLeon here with Chris Fum, and we are going to be reacting to and discussing some pretty exciting news for the New York Giants. Of course, they love to do it in the most inconvenient time frame possible at the end of the day on a Friday. But Chris, here we are. The Giants have officially announced that Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, will be their next head coach. And frankly, Chris, I'm excited. I think that it was Brian Daboll all along. We got all these other interviews and names thrown out there. But the guy that I think is the safest but also best choice for this situation is Daboll.
Yeah, I think in retrospect, the Giants have been... they've gone through a good process with their GM and head coach interviews, but they have also been pretty damn transparent. Yeah, Joe Shane was the first interview they had. He was the first finalist in-person interview they had. Brian Daboll was their first head coach interview. He was right after Joe Shane was hired. He was their first finalist in-person interview, and you know, both were the guy. The Giants got a head coach who is, he seems to be from this millennium, which is nice. Mm-hmm. He knows the GM. They can work together. They can work and pull in the same direction. And I think that is the most important thing.
Yes. That for me, I think is one of the, you know, the big things that makes this decision great to go with Daboll is that you're bringing in somebody who has an established relationship with the general manager. And that connection is going to make it all the more easier for them to piece together a vision that will create a winning culture in New York. And they've already have a track record of working together and being a part of a winning culture in a different part of New York. So that certainly helps. And I even tweeted this out, Chris, that it feels like this is one of the first, I mean, the Shane hire and this as well, feels like one of the first decisions that they've made in a long time that wasn't like a serious head scratcher. And I'm not saying that Brian Flores would have been a head scratcher. I was an advocate for him, but that was the riskier choice of the two. And I think that I might have been a little bit adverse if they'd let Daboll end up going to Miami, which sounded like it was a strong possibility this morning, and that they really wanted to repair him with Tua. But I don't think that there should be any doubts or questions about this decision. Obviously, we need results on the field first, but still, I think that this is the perfect circumstance for them to go forward with Daboll.
Yeah, the proof really will be in the pudding. John Mara, Steve Tisch, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, they can say everything they want to say, but it really will come down to the results on the field. Yeah, I don't want to shortchange Shane and Daboll. You know, I don't want to not give them a honeymoon period because we know that the Giants are a mess right now. They're in a hole. They have to work their way out of that hole. But, you know, I feel like Giants fans right now, after Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur and Joe Judge and really most of the entire last decade, you know, if you want to say talk is cheap, you know, actions speak louder, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. I absolutely understand that feeling. I also understand it if you want to be excited.
Right. And, you know, on that note, again, I'm very excited for this decision that we have here. For me, we already talked about the relationship that was already established is a major positive. I think that the other thing that makes this move, really, really exciting, is the proven track record that he has had with developing young quarterbacks and the experience that he's had working with young quarterbacks. He's been in Alabama, and his time as the offensive coordinator with the Bills, we saw a significant progression from Josh Allen, him turning into a guy that was all tools, just a really big dude from Wyoming that had a cannon for an arm, that was a great athlete, that had very little touch on the football to an extent because I mean, you still watch him. He rockets the ball at his receivers, but he went from a guy that was completing 55% of his passes in college and then early on in his career in the NFL to a point where he's hitting on those traits and he is playing up to his potential and he is turning into one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And that being said, like, we don't know for sure who the quarterback of the Giants will be. At the very least, we know that it's going to be Daniel Jones or most likely a young guy. So whatever young guy that they end up drafting this year or next year, or if it's Daniel Jones, I would be I'm looking at this positively and I would be excited to see whoever it is. And I would think that he is going to help develop whoever that guy is into a strong starting quarterback. And you need a good starting quarterback to win in the NFL. That's just a proven fact.
Yeah, you look at the playoffs this year. I think something like 11 of the 14 quarterbacks that were in the playoffs were among the top 10 or among the top 14 in overall efficiency, EPA and completion percentage above expected. Like, basically, the only top quarterback who wasn't in the playoffs was Justin Herbert, and that wasn't his fault. So, yeah, for me, the most impressive thing about Brian Daboll is how his offense changed to accommodate Josh Allen. And you go back and look at the first 2 years of his tenure in Buffalo, they really didn't run four receiver sets at all. They had seven snaps in 10 personnel those first 2 years put together. The second 2 years, 2020 and 2021, they ran the second most in the whole NFL. They were second most in 2020 and third most in 2021. It was something like 284 snaps combined. The only team that ran more than them was the Arizona Cardinals. So just that understanding of what the quarterback needs to unlock his game, to unlock his potential, and to play up to his potential. You know, they went out and got Stephon Diggs in the trade. Yeah, and he has been phenomenal for them. But then to understand that, you know, maybe Josh Allen needs a little bit more of a college, we'll call it a grad school offense, because it's not exactly a college offense, but it uses a lot of those same things that worked so well for him at the college level. And, you know, forcing defenses into those smaller packages actually helped to unlock Josh Allen's ability with his legs, which unlocked his whole game.
And that actually honestly might keep Daniel Jones here for at least another season, because you do see some physical similarities. And before everyone freaks out, I'm not comparing Daniel Jones to Josh Allen, but you do have those physical similarities where they're bigger, they're athletic. We know that Daniel Jones can run and we know that he can pick up yards on the ground, and they really love using Josh Allen to do that in Buffalo, or he did love doing that. Now
I'm sure he still loves it.
Right, but now he doesn't have Josh Allen anymore as his quarterback. So Daboll might be looking at him and saying, like, okay, well, let's try and actually use Daniel Jones to his strengths. And that's something that we saw a little bit in the first year with Daniel Jones, where he was running a lot more and he was doing a really good job of it. And then some injuries kind of hampered him a little bit. But the play calling by Jason Garrett and Freddie Kitchens wasn't really using that effectively. They weren't doing a very good job of it. And I would be excited to see that if Daniel Jones is the guy and they don't draft anyone, they don't trade for anyone, they don't try to sign anybody to compete with him, if he is the guy, I would expect that you're going to get a lot more rushing attempts from Daniel Jones and a lot more usage of him as an offensive weapon and as a runner.
Yeah, I think the question there is, how long can he keep that up? Yeah, he just hasn't been as durable as Josh Allen. And that kind of has been not the whole problem, but certainly part of the problem. Yeah. More than anything, I just like that there is a head coach in place who has a definite system. Like, I don't dislike the idea of a special teams coach being the head coach. I think that can have some advantages. Obviously, it does in Baltimore with Harbaugh. Bill Belichick started out as a special teams coach before he became defensive coordinator. But having a head coach like Brian Daboll who has a systematic way of approaching the game, yeah, that to me is probably the biggest step forward that this team can take. You know, with Pat Shurmur, he was the quarterback whisperer. He was going to be the guy to fix Eli. And, you know, he had that really quarterback-friendly offense. But we didn't know what kind of a system he had for really directing the team. Yeah, what kind of vision he had for the team. And the same thing about Ben McAdoo. He was going to fix Eli, and he was going to have the Mike McCarthy offense. But again, there wasn't really a system in place. Daboll, at least, it seems like he has a system for how he views football, because we saw him really make some pretty profound changes to the Alabama offense, which got Tua a national championship. And then we saw him, it took a little while to get some traction with Buffalo, but we saw him figure out how to get that offense to work. So I am excited to see what he can do with the Giants, even if it's not much this year.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, that is one thing that does need to be indicated here, is that it's going to take some time with the current roster situation, but there are some pieces that he can certainly use, and there's some good receivers that were underutilized. So maybe this upcoming season could be very effective for this Giants offense that really has not played up to its possible potential. I said this, Chris, when Shane was hired, and I'm going to reiterate it now that Daboll has been hired. I think that this is another move that is going to be very detrimental for Saquon Barkley and his likelihood of staying here in New York. I just think that if you look at what they've done in Buffalo, the running backs that they've had in Buffalo, they're not a superstar running back type team. And Saquon hasn't been up to the level of health to even be a superstar running back. So I really think that if anyone's getting traded this offseason or moved, it's got to be Saquon. He's got to be the first person that they end up moving on from, because he's just, I don't see him fitting in with what they do and their approach. That was an old regime guy that has kind of held them back a bit because of his lack of availability. So do not be shocked if Saquon is gone very early in the offseason.
Yeah. People kind of snickered when Joe Shane said that the Giants have 11 draft picks and not 9 draft picks. I personally kind of wonder if that wasn't a little bit of a Freudian slip and he isn't looking very seriously at acquiring additional draft picks, because he has to know what the Giants' financial status is. Yeah, he even said it in his press conference that they're going to have to make some tough cuts. They're going to have to make some tough choices as they try to get this salary cap, you know, in order. And you know, Saquon, he isn't super expensive, but I think, you know, $7 million right now, that's not cheap for a running back. And with the Bills, like you said, they're not a superstar running back team. Yeah, you know, their superstar running back is Josh Allen. Yeah. And Joe Shane said in his introductory press conference, they're going to really rely. Well, maybe not rely, I think, is a little too strong a word, but incorporate a data-driven process at pretty much every level of their operation from now on. And I know this is a hot button issue, but one of the things the data says is that by and large, running backs are replaceable. Running back production doesn't really matter based on who is carrying the ball. I mean, Derrick Henry only had what, 40 yards or so against the Bengals?
Yeah.
Dante Foreman has had way more yards the last couple games, but Henry's the king. So, you know, it doesn't really matter which running back is carrying the ball. It comes down to, can your offense force the defense into smaller personnel groupings? Can your offensive line run block? And then finally, it comes down to, can your running back take advantage of what is blocked for him, take advantage of the favorable personnel matches? And there's a lot of running backs who can, who aren't second overall picks.
So I want to talk about, Chris, to wrap up here, the potential staff that we're going to see. Adam Schefter has already reported, and then I'm seeing on Twitter right now, there's a bunch of people reporting that Ken Dorsey, the quarterback's coach for the Buffalo Bills, is going to be the Giants' offensive coordinator. And Ken Dorsey, a little bit of background on him. He was in the NFL with three different teams as a quarterback, 2003 to 2010, primarily a backup, was a seventh-round pick out of Miami. And then his role as a coach was the quarterback's coach in Carolina from 2013 to 2017, working with Cam Newton. We saw that development. And, you know, when he wasn't there, Cam Newton kind of completely fell apart for separate reasons. And then additionally, he was with the Bills most recently working with Josh Allen. And I got to say that I think that them bringing over Ken Dorsey, and apparently this was part of what Dable wanted with building his staff, and in order for him to become the Giants head coach, he wanted Dorsey to come with him. I think that this is a really, really good thing to already know and for them to have. And Dorsey has looked really good as a quarterback's coach in developing specifically Josh Allen recently. That's like, to me, that's enough of a resume to say we took this guy and we turned him into a superstar. Yeah. That is fantastic. And like I was saying earlier, I'm excited for whoever for the next 3 years, whoever is that quarterback, if they end up drafting someone or if it's Daniel Jones, I'm excited to see what that development is going to be like.
Yeah, that I think is the exciting thing, is that, you know, like I said before, the Giants have guys in place who view football in a really systematic, organized way. And that's something they haven't had in a long, long time, I don't think. So I'm honestly kind of surprised that the Bills are letting Dorsey go, because it seemed like he was kind of the heir apparent to be their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they really kind of got screwed. Think about it.
also, from what I'm seeing, it's kind of up in the air whether or not Patrick Graham will stick around. Because I think now the big question is what happens with the Giants coaching staff. Because we have seen that the position coaches, the coordinators, those guys have been really vital to the Giants' lack of success lately. You know, we've seen, you know, Ben McAdoo have coaches that, you know, they weren't in the NFL before they had been out of football when he hired them. Joe Judge hired a lot of college coaches to coach in the NFL, which, again, one or two I'm not against, because the college game is kind of the laboratory for the NFL, and having your finger on that pulse can give you a lot of really good, very innovative ideas. But you have to know how to coach in the NFL. You have to know what NFL teams are calling and playing. So I think getting a very good coaching staff together is going to be the next big thing for this team. And I think that's actually going to come together very quickly. So the next question is, does Patrick Graham stick around? I've seen Wink Martindale, the now former Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator. I've seen his name mentioned quite a bit. And that, I think, would be a very interesting hire if Patrick Graham leaves. If he leaves, hopefully he becomes the Minnesota Vikings head coach. I just hope that for him. But yeah, you know, that Ravens scheme, that's close enough to what the Giants run, where they'd probably be able to fit most of their players in relatively seamlessly.
So, you know, you mentioned there's two pieces there I want to unpack. The Patrick Graham thing, I would think he's probably going to be the priority to keep as the defensive coordinator. They went out of their way to interview him and talk to him to reestablish that relationship. And we talked about how that's probably not necessarily saying, Patrick, we want you to be our head coach, but we rather want to say that if whoever we end up picking as that next head coach, we want you to stay because you've done so much tremendous things with the defense that you're working with. And I don't know if they're Dable and Patrick Graham are familiar with each other, but like I'm trying to sit here and, you know, do the murder map with the strings and stuff like that, trying to see if they have any connection to one another. And I think that they overlapped in New England for a very, very brief period of time. So, I mean, there's a possibility that they're familiar with themselves. I'm not going to sit here and try to assume that, but there's a possibility that they're familiar with one another. And I think that that's something to definitely take into account. But for me, I would honestly, before they go and get anybody or try to go look for somebody, keep Patrick Graham. He has done so much for this defense that has really had a lot of holes in various spots. And if it's not him, it's got to be Wink Martindale. I think that to keep hearing his name, he would be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. But I still say I would love to see Vic Fangio running this defense because that man could call a defense. But yeah, but Patrick Graham, I think keeping him is priority one unless he gets a head coaching job. Mm-hmm. The Giants can't stand between him and a head coaching job. But I wouldn't want to see him shuffled out just because, you know, he was with the old regime. He is a damn good coach. As near as I can tell, he's the type of guy who can work with other people. You know, he seems to be a very humble, down-to-earth type of guy. And yeah, I'd like to see him stay in New York. His defense has been the only thing that has kept his team watchable the last 2 years. And really see him continue to build his resume, because I do think he will be a head coach sooner rather than later. And I'd like to see him get a good job.
Yeah, that's a really good point, that Patrick Graham at some point is probably going to get hired to be a head coach somewhere. It sounds like that's inevitable in the next few years, considering the fact that he's already been getting those head coaching interviews, but it might be just a little bit too soon for him to take over and be the head coach of a team. And he doesn't have a ton of experience even just being a defensive coordinator, so it might be a bit, but to keep him, I think, should really be a high priority. The only thing that might stand in the way of that is if maybe they offer him, but Brian Flores convinces him to come with him. That's just something to consider because he was previously Brian Flores's defensive coordinator. But I do really, really like the thought of, if it's not Patrick Graham, I think Wink Martindale, as you mentioned, it keeps being brought up. He would be a really, really exciting hire because we have even more proof of how good of a defensive coordinator Wink Martindale is. I wouldn't be angry with either Graham or Martindale, but we know that Martindale has produced some really, really high-level defenses that were the backbone of those Ravens teams. So again, Martindale, great option.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think any Giants fan would be angry to see their defense playing as hard and physically as the Baltimore Ravens defense plays. Yeah, that defense is always good. It doesn't matter who's on the field for them. They can be utterly beat up, completely ravaged by injury like they were this year, and they can still be a tough defense. That defense is always a tough out. So I think either one of those guys is a really good option. Yeah, that's one area of the team I'm really not worried about right now, which probably means it's going to be terrible.
Right. Hopefully we don't get our expectations too high for that defensive coordinator job. But regardless, exciting future here for the New York Giants as Brian Dable is going to be the next head coach for the Giants. That's going to be it for this discussion and talking about Dable taking over. Be sure to hit subscribe wherever you're tuning in, and we will be talking to you next week as it is going to be Senior Bowl week.